What's up, everyone, and welcome back to a brand new episode from the Lions Cove podcast. I'm your host, Marcelo, and today we are here with a very special guest, my man, Owen Gerba.
Thank you for having me, Marcelo.
Yeah, dude, it's an honor to have you on the podcast. We've been talking about it for a while, and I'm very glad this happened. Also, too, thank you for allowing me to take a two-week break. We had spring break. It was super enjoyable, super relaxing, and it was a great time. And Owen's spring break consisted of playing 10 baseball games, so how was that for you?
Yeah, it was a great time. Took a little trip down to Orlando with the team. Went off to a pretty good start, 7-3 start. Can't complain about that. So yeah, good weather, good baseball. It was a good time just with the team and being able to hang out down in Florida too. So yeah, can't complain. Good spring break trip and last one.
Yeah, last one, which is crazy. And now we're back and we're finishing up our last 2 months here at John Carroll. It's going by pretty quick, but we're definitely going to, soak it all in and just, take every day by day.
Yeah, for sure. It is crazy. Like, we had class freshman year and it flew by.
But so funny story. So our good friend JJ Whalen, he knew that me and Owen were both coming to John Carroll, and ever since freshman year when me and Owen met, we became friends. And it's crazy to see our journeys throughout this our time here at JCU. And it's definitely been a blessing for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, so to give my man Owen a proper introduction, he's a pitcher here at John Carroll. He is the reliever, he's the closer, he comes in to save the day. So in 2022, his freshman year, he made 18 relief appearances, tied third in appearances in the OAC, and he made his collegiate debut with a scoreless inning of relief with two strikeouts against Wittenberg. In 2023, sophomore year, pitched 1.1 innings of relief against Trine, giving up a hit, his first save of the season, and then he pitched four innings of relief, allowing just one run on five hits, forced two double plays, and was credited with his first career win against Allegheny College. And then his junior year, two scoreless innings against Hiram, and then two scoreless innings against Ohio Northern. Owen's always been clutch for sure, and I'm definitely excited to see how his senior year goes, and I know it's going to be a great one.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
So you've had quite the journey in both baseball and in broadcasting, as we've seen throughout your time here. I know freshman year you started with the JCU broadcasting crew, just doing games and stuff, which is great, with our good friend Bobby Jerome. Shout out, Bobby. So tell us a little bit about your background and what led you to John Carroll.
Yeah, so as far as the broadcasting goes, it was my freshman year in high school at Ignatius, and trying out different clubs and stuff, just trying to get involved. And I kind of had an interest. I did the news team in grade school, so it was kind of on my radar to do broadcasting at Ignatius. And they had a pretty good program. Some alumni, John Fanta, is a big alumni that went through the program. So that was kind of on my radar to begin with. So my mom was like, you should, try out and see if you can do something with SIBN. So I did. Tried out, made the crew as a color analyst for basketball, did a few games my freshman year, and then kind of just took off from there and started to do more and more games, mostly basketball. Did a few football games, in the underclassmen years, and then going into senior year, that's kind of when I took a major role, was co-president with Bobby, and me and Bobby called all the football games together, and then I got a little bit into basketball. Kurt Pickering was the main guy for basketball, and then I took over the lead in hockey. So that was pretty fun. Got to do, that was the year of COVID, so there's a lot of listeners, especially on the football, the limited stadium attendance. So a lot of people were tuning in, a lot of people listening to voices. It was pretty cool to do that, especially with Bobby and getting able to do it then into college as well. So, that's kind of how I got the start. Hockey and football and basketball have kind of been my main ones, especially playing baseball. Tough to call games and play at the same time. So, that's kind of what led me. Then John Carroll, Joe Ginley, he's the sports information director here. He was the same thing at Ignatius. So I broadcasted with him, and he was like, hey, come to John Carroll. We've got a good spot for you. We have a good crew. We'd love to have you. And so it was kind of funny. Me and Bobby both made kind of independent decisions to come here, and we got to do it together for another four more years.
Wow, which is crazy. I mean, me and Bobby talked a lot about the basketball and the baseball side, but hockey's got to be completely different.
Yeah, it's a lot quicker game. I never played hockey growing up, but I definitely had an interest in Ignatius's team. Obviously, was pretty dominant during my 4 years, so something I was super interested in being a part of. of. Yeah, never called hockey. Kind of had to do a lot of research, met with some of the players, some of the past Jack O'Rourke, we'll shout out him, another JCU guy. Kind of talked to him about, you know, what to do, what to be looking out for, some of the words, some of the slang to call, and kind of just ran with it. And, you know, by the end of the season, I think it was a lot of fun. It's a lot quicker game, definitely a different style than, you know, some of the other football and basketball. But yeah, I really liked it. And this year I got to call a few games for John Carroll's team as well.
Wow. Dude, awesome. So talk a little bit about, you know, your baseball career. Obviously, great baseball player, St. Ignatius High School. And it's tough to make, you know, the sports teams at that school. I mean, what, you have like 100 kids trying out for a spot, maybe even more.
Yeah. I remember freshman year, it was pretty crazy. You know, 100 kids, I really was, you know, I was pretty honest with myself. Like, man, this is going to come down to, I'm going to be one of the last guys either on or off. So just trying to do what I can to try and make the team. And luckily, I was fortunate enough to make the team my freshman year, which is a big help. Just kind of getting a foot in the door in the program sophomore year, you know, felt pretty good. I thought I had a pretty good freshman season, able to do it, and then kind of continuing into senior year. And that's actually kind of getting to the baseball stuff. My senior year, became a PO. I was a first baseman pitcher. I really liked first base defensively, but my senior year, kind of read the writing on the wall, and my coach kind of was like, hey, I think we should focus on just pitching. And they suggested, you know, maybe try a little throwing submarine. So I gave it a shot, and I was like, yeah, this is pretty fun. You know, I kind of throw like that from first base anyway, and especially turning double plays, that was kind of where he saw it. He's like, you have that low arm slot when you're turning double play. You might as well see if you can transition to that on the mound. So I gave it a shot, and I was like, this is pretty fun, pretty funky. You know, over the top, I was, you know, not that great. But like from a new arm slot, that is, you know, makes myself a little bit better to try and get innings on the team. And you mentioned it, like pretty competitive team, fighting for innings. So, you know, I had to do what I had to do.
Yeah. And I mean, plus two, dude, throwing like a submarine, like, I mean, you're, you know, training your arm probably like nonstop, just, you know, trying to get that like form down, trying to get that like motion down, and even like the accuracy with it too, because I'm sure it's tough.
Yeah, certainly. You know, grow up throwing from one angle over the top, and you know, think about the countless amount of reps. Like even for a non-baseball player, you throw things all the time, and it's kind of all through one slot, and you know you get a feel for that, and you know where your ball is going to go, just playing catch in the backyard or like throwing the football around, whatever. But yeah, this was completely different. I had to kind of retrain my whole body to be able to throw differently, and that was one of the biggest things, like just the consistency. And you know, John Carroll has allowed me these last 4 years, like I've been able to do a lot, and playing a lot of catch, of just like kind of focusing on, you know, basic throwing stuff, and like where the arm's going is pretty big. Yeah, the consistency is a major factor, and it gets tough.
Yeah, jeez. But you're also a left-hander too, right? Yeah. You're a lefty.
Yeah,
which is tough. I mean, yeah, if you're going against a pitcher that's throwing the sub and then also like left-handed, it's deadly.
Yeah, it's definitely unique, and you know, yeah, I do my best.
Wow. So you've had some clutch performances on the mound, from scoreless innings to big saves. So what's been your favorite or most memorable outing in your college career so far?
Yeah, this is tough. There's definitely a lot come to mind when you say that. But you mentioned the one, my first appearance in college. It was against Wittenberg. It was on the backside of a doubleheader, and you know, I didn't think so. That was the first dress list of the year. I didn't know if I was going to make it or not. You know, it was pretty competitive as a freshman. Pretty tough to make a dress list. But fortunately, I was able to do it. And you know, I had pretty low expectations. I did not think I was going to get into the game. But yeah, back half of the doubleheader, freezing cold night under the lights, which is pretty cool. And you know, I get the call to warm up, and I was like, oh my goodness, let's go. So what was also pretty cool is my roommate went out there for that inning as well, and that was his first time in the field, so that was pretty cool. And so it was me and him out there. He was at second base, and you know, just kind of almost black out. You know, you get into that groove and just kind of do your thing. Yeah, you mentioned two Ks, which is pretty cool. I think the other one was maybe a hit by pitch, and then a ground ball was the other two guys of that inning. But yeah, I was pretty grateful. I think, yeah, my first batter I faced was a 3 or 4 pitch K, which was pretty cool. It's kind of like a welcome to college moment for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, like, you know, like talking with like prior athletes, and also being like an athlete myself, I mean, like, you know, that like first time going into like a new environment, big game, and then, you know, just playing like your best, and like good things happen, you just feel great after that. You know, you're definitely super amped up, super pumped up, and it's just a great feeling all around. And I'm sure you got a bunch of support from like your, you know, teammates, friends, and family.
Oh yeah, everyone was pretty excited for me, especially the guys on the team. There's a lot of older guys and not a lot of younger guys on that dress list. I think it was just me and my roommate were the only two freshmen, like a few fifth years, because this was during like the COVID like fifth year situation. And so they were pretty excited to see like a young guy come out there and compete and do a good job. So it was pretty cool. Yeah, I got a lot of texts as well from prior coaches and family. They were pretty excited.
Wow, dude, awesome. So now talk a little bit about, you know, your journey playing college baseball, for example. Like, did you always know that you wanted to play in college, or, you know, did it kind of just happen like throughout your time in high school? So how did you choose JCU for baseball?
Yeah, so I think it was always a dream of mine growing up. Of course, you know, the dreams, you know, to go Power 5, to the SEC and play in big time games. And so growing up, you know, that was always like, I want to play college baseball. Absolutely. And, you know, I'd always dreamed about it being a hitter, not as a submarine pitcher, that's for sure. But going through high school, I had a lot of coaches, you know, I went to just one camp really, and, you know, saw a few things, but also noticed like there's a lot of good competition, especially in Northeast Ohio. There's a lot of good players around here. So you got to do what you can to kind of be unique. And that's kind of what led me to be submarine. And then John Carroll was kind of off my list at first. I have a pretty good lineage here. My grandpa went here, my uncle went here, my mom went here. And so I was like, you know, I kind of want to do my own thing and be my own kind of person, kind of get away from John Carroll. It seemed a little bit too close to home. But as I was doing the college searching and going to other places, just nowhere like kind of felt at home. And so finally, I reluctantly came on a visit here and, you know, gave it a good thorough look. And I was like, this is a grace. You know, like I noticed that just from the visit and talking with, and then I met with Coach Bell, and I was like, this is a guy that I would love to play for. And so that all kind of things and helped with, you know, Joe Ginley being here, kind of being like, hey, if you come here, you can definitely continue the broadcasting stuff, even being able to play baseball and do that. Because that's the other thing. Like, my time's pretty limited between school and baseball. You know, how much time would I have for broadcasting? And Joe was, you know, he's very helpful. Like, hey, we have a good amount of athletes already in the program, and we're able to kind of accommodate you and get you in here when you can and work around your schedule. And so that was a big factor as well. But then also the school. I wanted to be something in business. I didn't know for sure. And John Carroll, I mean, the Boulder School is phenomenal. So that was another big thing. And, you know, at the end of the day, I just realized that despite my initial, you know, not wanting to be here, this was definitely the right place for me.
Yeah, dude. I mean, listen, you hit it right on the spot. Like, I always told my parents, I said, I'm not going to John Carroll. It's way too close to home. And then once you take a like, visit here, you're like, all right, I see like the great culture. I see like the great vibes. And it just changes everything. And like, it's a great place to be. And, you know, definitely like with like the family ties and stuff, definitely important, because you also get to carry on that, you know, legacy, carry on that, you know, tradition. And also too, the time management is definitely key. I mean, the fact that you were the president, and also too, you're on the baseball team, you got practice every day, you got games, doubleheaders, on top of all that. I mean, the fact that you're able to balance all that out is just incredible, bro.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot, but I mean, you know, you do it because you like it, and you know, it sets you up for the future as well. You're going to have to time manage, you know, for the rest of your life, so you might as well learn it now.
Right, dude, exactly. I mean, because once you like, generate that habit now, it's just going to be so much better for you in the future. That's why I always keep that agenda on me. I'm always writing down my schedule, writing down what I have that day. So it definitely keeps everything in check for sure.
Yeah.
So you played for the Olean Oilers this past summer. So how did that experience compare to college baseball? And what's the biggest lesson that you took away from it? I know, like, I did some research on it. I know it's a bunch of, like, college athletes, right? But it's from, like, the D1, D2. Isn't it, like, from all different levels?
Yeah, exactly. So it's in the NYCBL, which is summer ball, like, collegiate summer ball league. So it's wood bats, which is pretty cool, too. A lot of guys from kind of all over. Yeah, we have a few JUCO guys. There was a bunch of D1, a bunch of D2, and a bunch of D3 guys. So it was a pretty good mix, which was really cool to kind of hear the experiences of some other players that get different levels and see what their experiences are, you know, compared to mine. And then the other good part was kind of see where I'm at, you know, talent-wise as well. So you're facing pretty good competition day in and day out. We played 6 days a week. One day was a doubleheader, and, you know, they're all at night, like night games for the most part, under the lights, which is pretty cool. Get a good amount of fans out to the games, which is pretty cool too. And, you know, it's a summer night at the ballpark in a small town in upstate New York, which I love. And just like traveling with the team. So it was a pretty great experience. You know, it definitely is different from school ball, just from, I mean, not only the wood bat aspect, but also it's kind of like you live a different life. There's no school involved. You kind of all have to focus on baseball, but you got to still be, you know, locked in on the baseball aspect of it. You can't really slouch on that.
Wow. So this is almost kind of like a pro level league, just, you know, with like the, you know, training, like the games. When if you're playing like six games a week, that's, or even more, that's pretty much like a full-time job.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It has that feel to it for sure. You know, you got your road trips on the bus with the team. Where I was at, we had access to like a weight room. And so we'd essentially essentially have like team lifts, you know, being there with everybody else on the team, getting a good lift in the morning. We lived together on campus. We were at St. Bonaventure's campus. So we lifted in their gym and then got to kind of all live together as well, which was pretty cool. You know, eat with the fellas and then hop on a bus if you're going to on a road trip, hop on the bus, hang out, play a game, come back home, kind of do it all over again. So yeah, it's definitely, it's a lot of baseball, but I mean, you get to love it and you get really close with the guys on the team.
Yeah, I mean, dude, I'm sure you made a bunch of like connections, a bunch of great and like longtime friends. Oh, yeah. Just like throughout that whole process. But also too, I'm sure it was tough being away from home, like, you know, especially like, you know, being from Cleveland, all of your friends coming like back home while you're in New York. But I mean, hey, it's just a part of like the process, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was definitely, you know, didn't get to see a lot of my like home friends for the summer. You know, they're all doing stuff for 4th of July. We're playing a game on 4th of July. But, you know, I really loved it. And so, you know, that's the sacrifice you make. And you're like, there's only a small window of time that I get to play the game. So you might as well make the most of it. That's how I think.
Dude, which is a great, great mindset, dude. Yeah. But and like, it's cool too, because like, are those stadiums, are those kind of like minor league stadiums, or like, are they like college stadiums? Like, what's like the vibe?
Yeah, they're kind of like old minor league stadiums. The one that we played in, the Oilers used to be back in the day, like in the early 20s, were like a minor league team. They bounced around. I think they were like the Yankees minor league program and like the Phillies minor league team for a while. So the stadiums are pretty old. A lot of the other places we played were kind of similar, like retired minor league stadiums. But it was pretty cool. There's some, you know, history involved with it, especially in Olean, the place we played. Jackie Robinson played there, so that's pretty cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sweet. So you've been the go-to guy for relief appearances and, you know, in late game situations, right? So what's your mindset when you step onto the mound?
Yeah, you kind of just have to have that mindset that you're going to dominate. There's kind of no room to be passive. No matter who steps in the box, you kind of have to know that, you know, you're the guy and you're gonna beat that guy, or else you're gonna be the one that gets beat. You know, you gotta have that mindset that you're gonna take care of business and there's nothing that this guy can do to beat you.
You know, bottom ninth, like you're like going in, or even like bottom eight, bottom seven, and you're like going in, and, you know, a lot of the pressure's on you, you know, to, you know, save like this game, basically give up no runs, which is tough. So big props to you for just going in and like handling business, because I know, you know, there's so much pressure. A lot of people are watching, you know, I'm sure there are a lot of fans, friends, and family at these games just like watching you. So, but I'm sure you also have a great support team, you know, with like, you know, your infield as well as your outfield too.
Yeah, it is cool. I mean, just with playing with these guys for 4 years, you do everything together, you live together, you live with them, you eat together, you become a pretty good family. So yeah, when you're out there, you feel that support, like whether it's from the dugout or from the seven guys behind you on the field, you definitely feel it. And so that is also helpful. But you know, that's the thing about being a pitcher, like the game runs through you. If you don't throw the pitch, the game's not going to continue. So you know, you just got to know that, you know, you can take care of business and kind of handle it for the team, and everyone's got your back, but it really comes down to you.
Yeah, like, so funny story. So when I was little, I think it was from like the fourth grade to like the sixth grade, so a long time ago. But so all like my best friends, they all played travel baseball, and I was, you know, I played rec because, you know, I was doing basketball, doing football, I was doing all those like other sports, so I didn't really have time to just focus on baseball, where a lot of my childhood friends did. So you know, they were used to like playing against kids that, you know, threw fast, threw like different pitches. But me, I threw like 30 miles an hour. I threw like super slow balls like over the middle. But it was so funny because I would always strike like my best friends out, and still like to this day they always make fun of me. They're like, dude, like you barely even throw a ball, blah blah blah. Like, listen, I'm sure my arm speed has, you know, gotten a lot better since then. But you know, back then, you know, most, you know, players, you know, were swinging at fastballs. I was just throwing meatballs over the plate.
Yeah, that works sometimes, you know, change up the eyesight, get them out on their toes.
Yeah, dude, like I remember in the championship game, I have a hat and I wrote like six like strikeouts on there. I was so proud. I was like, and then eventually I had to hang up the cleats and focus on basketball. But you know, baseball, like, you know, even being a pitcher, like it's always been so much fun. But I was always scared about getting hit by a pitch. I was always scared of the ball just coming flying right at me. But yeah. I mean, obviously you have to like, you know, react to those situations, and obviously in the MLB you see those pitchers just, you know, react instantly and just catch that ball.
Yeah, that is definitely scary, that's for sure.
Yeah, so obviously you're not only a player, but you're involved within the sports media. So as the broadcast director for JCU football and basketball, what's been your favorite moment or game that you've covered?
Yeah, this is another tough one. There's definitely a lot. You know, can't not say when JCU football was in the playoffs versus Mount St. Joe's Joseph. That game was on ESPN Plus.
Wow.
So that was pretty cool. I was making calls to ESPN to make sure, you know, running sound checks and graphics checks and stuff like that, which that was pretty cool. That's for sure. So, I mean, that whole game was definitely a highlight. Just to be on ESPN Plus was pretty cool. And a lot of people tuning in. Big game. First time in a while that John Carroll has hosted an NCAA tournament game in football. So that was a big spot for the program, and being able to represent them well and put on a good show for everyone watching, that was pretty big. As far as basketball goes, another tough one. Like, there's been a lot of good games. It is pretty cool. You know, it's like another family back there. We're all on headset and everyone can kind of hear my thoughts, which is kind of interesting. But yeah, I mean, Henry Maynor, half court shot, buzzer beater. I think it was against ONU. Yeah, that was a pretty fun one. Didn't really see it coming, but as soon as it happened, I was like, we got to run every angle, run the rebound. That's pretty sick. But yeah, I mean, anytime that Luke Frazier slam one down, that's going to be a fun one as well. Our camera people are always good about getting those and making sure we have all good angles to run for the broadcast, which is pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, it's been a lot of fun for all those games, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, even like, you know, seeing like those game winners, seeing those like big dunks, I mean, like those kind of like set like the tone, those get the crowd going. I'm sure it gets you guys going, like the ones that are in the booth, because it gets you fired up. Okay. And, you know, people love listening to commentators that are fired up. I know that guy Eric Collins for the Hornets. I love listening to him, because he just says some crazy stuff and he just gets fired up after every single play, which is awesome. So like, you kind of bring that same like mentality. So when something big happens, you know, you're like all fired up, or are you kind of like, you know, calm a little bit, and then when something happens, you're like amped up?
Yeah, it's tough, because you got to be, you know, you got to make sure that everyone's doing the right thing and you're calm, kind of getting the words out. But I mean, how can you not be excited when something crazy is going on? You know, I'm always in the headset like, oh, alley-oop here, like, let's get it going. And like, but then you gotta lock in and be able to put on the show, you know, be able to run those replays that we need, or make sure the cameras are looking right and the graphic, we have the right graphics up. So it's a good balance, that's for sure. You know, we definitely have our fun back there, but also, you know, you gotta make sure that everyone can understand what's going on. You can't be screaming through everyone's ear. You gotta tell them what to do. So yeah, it's a good balance, but it's a lot of
fun. Wow. So you've worked on live broadcasts, PA announcing, sports media, like you've done the whole thing. So what's something about sports broadcasting that most fans don't realize?
Yeah, this is a good question. I mean, I feel like over the years, like a lot of people have been pretty upfront. Like Tom Brady's done a few things about talking about like his kind of day in the life of broadcasting games. So people kind of get a little bit of an insight of what really goes on, when in the past you probably had no idea. I think one of the things is just like the amount of prep work that the broadcasters do, that we do as a staff, is incredible. You know, putting together spotting boards, making sure that everyone, not only the first five guys, but also every guy down to the last bench guy, you never know who's going to get in. You got to make sure that you have, you know, proper information on everyone, and that goes for both teams too. So that, and also just the amount of stuff that you kind of take for granted, like on the broadcast, every graphic that you see has to be like carefully planned out and made sure that everything like spelled right. Like even just the little stuff like that, you don't really think about when you're watching a game, like, oh yeah, this is what's going to happen. But like, there's somebody out there that's cueing every little thing that you see on screen, and putting that together and making sure that it's all scripted out and, you know, puts on a good broadcast. Because the thing is, like, when it's a good broadcast, you kind of don't really notice everything that goes into it. When it's bad, though, that is something that you notice.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, that was misspelled, or like, that was the wrong graphic there. That doesn't correlate to what they're talking about on the screen. So it is kind of interesting. Like, you kind of have to make sure that you're kind of not noticed, essentially. You know, you want to make sure that you're doing everything right, so that it's just kind of comes as second nature to the viewer watching the game. But yeah, it's definitely made me watch sports very different, because I kind of know what's going through the heads of some people working back there.
And like, one thing that like I've noticed too, like you like definitely touched on it, was like, you know, getting all of the like the facts about everyone, even like the bench players, even like the last guy, like that is tough. Like even like learning like facts, because, you know, for example, like when the guy's like walking to like the free throw line, like you kind of have to like fill that time. Like you can't really say he goes to the free throw line. Yeah. Okay, he's just standing there. Like you have to talk about, you know, his background, or talk about her like hometown, or, you know, talk about like these different players and, you know, like facts about them. Oh, today's his mom's birthday, or oh, today's her dog's birthday. So you have to come up with like random facts like that to kind of keep like the audience like entertained.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a lot of information, that's for sure. And, you know, it's definitely, you know, tough, and you put in a lot of effort. I think we do a pretty good job here of making sure that we get everything covered.
Yeah, even like the preparation for it too, because like, you know, it's almost like a test. You're doing all the prep work, and then, you know, once it's live, then you have to be ready to go, locked in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's no time to be doing prep, you know, while on air. You know, it's all got to kind of be committed to memory already.
Right. So being one of your good friends, I know you love to juggle.
Yes.
So how did you get into that, and what's the craziest thing you've ever tried to juggle?
Yeah, so kind of similar story. It was freshman year at Ignatius, trying to just get involved. So I knew I was going to do SIBN. Another club that kind of stood out to me that was pretty cool was the Circus Company. I'd seen them perform a few times, and I was like, I mean, that's pretty sweet, but also I'm not going to have time to do that. I don't know how to juggle. I can't do that. And I kind of just showed up the one day. I had a few friends that were going to go, and I was like, all right, I'll give it a shot, I guess. They taught me to juggle. We're like, hey, we're going to do performance here. You should come get a free shirt.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? I'll give it a shot. Sure. Why not? And, it kind of just picked, I picked it up pretty quickly, which I was a little shocked about. And they were like, hey, you're actually good at this. This isn't just a fluke. You're picking this up pretty quickly. And there was a lot of good jugglers that were ahead of me that were seniors, and just watching them do, they were doing five. And I was like, that is super impressive. I want to do that. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
So they kind of motivated me to kind of put in the effort there. And yeah, it just kind of took off from that. Craziest thing I've ever tried to juggle, and I didn't really try, I did. I have machetes.
What?
At home. Yeah, I got machetes and torches.
What? So, that were on fire?
Yeah.
And you were doing it?
Yeah.
Bro, what?
Yeah, so that's, I would say that's probably the craziest. That's
dude, how long did you juggle for?
Not too long. I was a little nervous I was going to light myself on fire, but yeah, pretty cool.
Dude, and now you posted those to Instagram. Did you post the machete one and fire one on Instagram?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Did that one blow up?
Blow up, yeah. I don't think so, but it's pretty cool. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that do crazier stuff, that's for sure.
Dude, you might have to, delete that and then repost it on Reels, bro, because yeah. with Reels, that actually might blow up.
Yeah, that is true.
Wow, dude, that's insane. And then didn't you juggle in front of Niagara Falls or something like that?
Yeah, yeah. My family goes on road trips a good amount. We've tried to hit a bunch of national parks, and so I've brought some of my props along, trying to juggle in front of the signs or some big monuments or whatever. I've juggled in quite a few national parks across the country, which is pretty cool. I've juggled in four states at once at the Four Corners.
Okay.
Which is kind of cool. But yeah, Niagara Falls was a cool one. We went to Arches National Park, Grand Canyon, done that. So yeah, kind of a little bit all over. We went to Cairo and I juggled in front of the pyramids.
No way.
Yeah.
Dude, that is so sick.
Yeah.
How long was the flight to Egypt?
Ooh, I think it was 9 hours maybe.
All right.
I can't remember exactly. It was a long one. Definitely slept majority of the time, but definitely worth it. Yeah, it was pretty cool. We went to Cairo and Kenya, visit my uncle, so that was a pretty cool trip.
Dude, that is super cool. That's also once in a lifetime too, seeing all that.
Yeah.
Wow. So bottom of the ninth, bases loaded, World Series, yeah. Two outs, you're on the mound. What's going through your mind? What pitch are you throwing? And what's your celebration with you on the Guardians? Let's say you're going up against the Dodgers. Let's say you're going up against Freddie Freeman, going up against, one of those, they have a stacked roster.
Yeah.
Honestly, any one of those players.
Yeah. So, I just got to, have the good mindset. So, going after it, that I'm going to attack and be better than him and, I know I'm not going to let him beat me. And you just got to have that positive mindset and kind of attack mindset and not be passive. You can't be passive. It's a lot easier to throw a ball than it is to execute a good pitch. You just got to kind of convince yourself that you're the man.
Wow. So, sports teaches us a lot about life, discipline, teamwork, handling pressure. What's one lesson from baseball or broadcasting that you think applies most to your everyday life?
Yeah, there's definitely a ton. The list could go on forever. I think one of the big things that I always talk about and, think about is just the continuous improvement aspect. In sports, you're never, I'm not an all-star in the MLB. There's room for improvement. And even guys in the MLB, you're always chasing. There's always somebody coming after you for your spot or to be better than you. So just the aspect of continuous improvement, I think translates to life as well. You don't want to be stuck complacent in a job and just kind of sitting it out. You want to make sure that you're doing what you can do to be better at whatever it is every day. If you're 100% committed at something, you want to do it at full speed. I think live broadcast is the same way. I've made plenty of mistakes, taking the wrong shot, doing wrong graphics, things like that. There's always room to grow from that. There's no such thing as a perfect broadcast, and there's no such thing as perfection in sports, really. There's always something you can do better.
Yeah, I could easily relate to that. Even with this podcast, podcast, for example. Like, I've had plenty of times where I was taking the video and it just cut out.
Yeah.
And then I couldn't even post it, or I'll just throw up like an image behind it. So, you know, like a lot of things don't work out like that. And even with like, you know, using this new equipment, this new setup, like it's like tough because, I mean, obviously with you in the sports broadcasting world, like I'm pretty sure you're just like Audacity and like these mics. Whereas like, you know, this podcast I started almost a year ago in April, which is crazy. And it's definitely gone by quick. I know I kind of took a little break, but even like, you know, just trying to find the balance and, you know, even making mistakes and like stuttering at times and like doing all that stuff. Like it's hard, but you make these mistakes, but you definitely like learn from it and you get better from it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the only way you're going to get better is if you learn from your mistakes. And I feel like a lot of people are afraid to make mistakes, so they don't try new things and they don't get out of their comfort zone. And I feel like that's the hardest part. Once you step out of that zone, then you're ready.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to do things that you fail at and you touch it. Like, you get better from failure. Learning from failure is another big thing. Like baseball, you know, you fail 7 out of 10 times as a hitter, that's, you're in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
So, like, think about that. Like, that's a lot of failure. And so just learning from that.
Yeah, dude. And like, I mean, I think I've realized just, you know, watching baseball, like I was at the Christmas home run, which was crazy. Yeah. That was awesome. I mean, dude, just hitting that ball is so hard. Like it's so, I feel like I've had so much more respect for baseball players. Just after moments like that, it's like, I mean, the odds of hitting that ball are so, so small.
Yeah.
And the fact that, you know, it just creates moments like that is just truly beautiful. And I feel like that's what makes the game of baseball so special.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
But I think I completely forgot to ask you, what's your celebration after you get the strikeout?
Yeah, that's right.
You got any good like celebrations?
See, I'm not too big of a celebration guy. There's been a couple moments. Last year against Heidelberg, I made a pretty good play and got juiced up on the mound, and everyone was pretty hyped about it. I'm usually a pretty smooth sailing, kind of stone cold after a good play type of guy. But, you know, World Series, you're probably tossing the glove in the air and running and hugging the catcher. That would probably be it. You know, get the dog pile.
Yeah. Or would you, like, stare down, like, the batter?
Oof. I don't know.
Or not?
Yeah. I'm pretty chill about that, you know, kind of stone cold, look at my boys and get them juice kind of guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, like, I feel like if I was a pitcher, dude, I would love to just stare at, like, the batter because there's that one guy on, like, the Dodgers. I think he still plays for them. He has, like, the glasses. I totally forgot about his name.
Yeah, Joe Kelly.
Yes. But he just, like, stares down the batters and just, like, talks. I think that's, like, the funniest thing ever.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, I think that was versus, like, the Padres. They had, like, that, like, big battle where I think after like every batter, every inning, they just were just talking.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of get to when it's 1v1, you win that one, you know, you're able to.
Oh yeah, dude, for sure. At the end of the day, whether it's on the mound, behind the mic, or just in life, what do you want to be remembered for?
Yeah, see, this is a good question. Yeah. You know, I think just want to be remembered for kind of, you know, working hard and doing my thing. Yeah. I think, I feel like I've done a pretty good job at the things that I've tried to do. And, you know, we talked about failure and that's definitely an aspect of it, but, kind of just trying to be the best version of myself every day, you know, making sure that I can help whoever I can, whether it be, you know, in sports, teammates, or, you know, other people in the office with sports info, or just anybody, you know, on the street. I just want to be able to, you know, give back and use my talents in a way that can kind of help everybody out. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. I mean, which is awesome. I mean, definitely giving back. I mean, that's all what, you know, your high school was all about. Back here at JCU, all about giving back, you know, doing good for the community and others around you. So definitely some great values to hold on to for sure.
Yes, sir.
So quote of the episode. So I didn't send this to you,
yeah.
But so at the end of every episode, we do a quote of the episode. Basically, I'll say a quote from a famous athlete, person, and then you'll talk about what this quote means to you, and then you'll tell the audience a quote that you live by every single day. No like pressure, you know, all just right. Like, you know, you got plenty of time to think about it. But this quote, obviously from the great Bob Feller. So he said, every day is a new opportunity. You can build on yesterday's success or put its failures behind and start all over again. It's the way life is, with a new game every day. And that's the way baseball is.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's a good one. We kind of talked about, you know, a little bit similar to that kind of idea with just like failure and using it to kind of propel you into the next day. You know, we always talk about like a focus on the next pitch. You can't change the past. I think that's kind of what he's getting at. Like, you can't really change yesterday. All you can do is use what you know and use it in the next opportunity that you have, and not taking for granted, you know, those opportunities. That's for sure. Yeah, I think that, I like that quote.
Yeah, even with like basketball too, I know the one thing I've always learned is to have like a short-term memory.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of the same thing, you know, focus always on the next possession, focus on like the next play, because I'll never forget, I think Dirk missed like 11 shots in the finals versus the Heat, and then he ended up finishing the game with some like high amount, definitely like, you know, easily 20 or 30,
yeah.
And they ended up beating that crazy Heat team. So it's like, you know, every day, like, you know, bad things may come your way, but you just got to keep on on going, keep on pushing through, and good things are always going to happen if you just keep going, keep on turning like a like new page. But Owen, it was a pleasure having you on the podcast today. I'm so blessed to be here and to be able to, you know, make this podcast happen. I know me and you talked about it a while ago, so I'm very blessed to have you on the show today. Hopefully you had a great time.
Yeah, I did. I really appreciate you having me. You know, this is fun. I'm glad we were able to find a time for me to do this.
Yeah, so for those out there, make sure, you know, you stay tuned throughout Owen's and the JCU baseball team season. They should have a great year. Got a lot of boys on that team. I know they're going to do great, and it's always good seeing them win, and I'm very excited to see how Owen does. I know he's going to go in there. He's going to make some big plays, make some big things happen. So, you know, best of luck to you on the rest of your season. Yeah. I'm sure a lot of people will be looking forward to it, and I know you're definitely going to do great things, bro. Yeah.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so make sure you like, subscribe, comment, share with friends and family, and I'm back to posting every single week. I know I have to work with Adobe from Premiere a little bit so I can get the editing done. I know hopefully within the next few weeks I can get that sorted out. That way I can, you know, do a little bit of story times here and there, get in some like B-roll shots and get like some other footage for my camera roll. But Owen, thank you again, and that'll do it, and we'll see you in the next one. Peace.